And I also think, like, the song aspect of it is cool. Like, all of the songs she sings for the Bonanzas are, like, really catchy. And
I thought that, like, ooh, whoa, was going to get really annoying. It's fine.
Ooh, whoa,
I don't have the stage
it's
beat.
It's so good.
I'll go again.
There's the clip.
And welcome to the Press Start podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
Brody.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
And we've just come straight from roast chat, ready to talk about the podcast and roast video games we've all been playing. No, I'm joking. We're going to be talking about our thoughts on The Drifter and Shadow Labyrinth, Assassin's Creed coming to Netflix, a new trailer for Mortal Kombat 2, and the latest on The Pokemon Presents. But first, we obviously reviewed Donkey Kong Bonanza last week. Spoke about it for a whole 20 plus minutes, I want to say. If you missed that episode, do go back and check it out. But Shannon, you and I have been playing a bunch of Donkey Kong Bonanza. I know that much. Brody, have you played any far this week?
I'm into the second world, I think. Past the intro area. I've probably only played about half hour, 40 minutes.
Right. I think Shannon's gone a little bit further than me, but I might be splitting the difference between the two of you. Shannon, how are you finding the game?
Yeah, I really like it, which isn't hugely surprising. But I think last week I was talking about not enjoying smashing and not seeing myself enjoying that aspect of the game. And I feel like it's the... I love some smashing, Brody. Don't worry about that.
If you want 20 minutes of this, go back to last week's episode.
Exactly. Get it out of your system now. That's the part I'm enjoying most, I think. Just like chilling, smashing through some walls, the ground, finding stuff. It's like they've done a really good job of just placing stuff in a way that it doesn't feel like you're hitting something every second, but it doesn't look like you're searching for 3 minutes either. Like, it's just really perfect mix of collectibles.
It's always like
everything else.
Just as you get one, there's like another one just like in your eye line, and you want to keep
going.
Well,
there's a challenge room, or there's a warden area. It's just, it's perfect. In that way.
And really
cleverly
designed as well, with like how you have to kind of navigate around or through obstacles in the environment. It's not always as simple as just digging your way from A to B, right?
You can just transform and then smash your way there if you really want. But I guess that's the good thing. It doesn't matter. You can do it however you want. But yeah, really liking it. I don't want to burn through it because I do think it's a very special game. And similar to Odyssey, I don't know if we ever really got anything like that from a platformer point of view. So I'm keen to enjoy it.
Mm. It's amazed me how dense it seems to be as well. Like, I've already spent, I don't know how many hours, but more than you possibly needed to, I guess, in like trying to progress through the first worlds. But I've just been so distracted, like trying to collect more and more bananas and fossils, etc. I've been very waylaid, but I've just been surprised by how kind of dense it is. Like, it seems, granted, I never really got really into the weeds with Mario Odyssey. Like, I just kind of went through that game with some pace, but it feels like there's kind of, I don't know.
I think because there's so much verticality, right? Like, up, down, everywhere. Like, you go on a world and it seems like small and like you'll be done with it in 20 minutes, but it can take you hours, and that's not even finding anywhere near everything. Like, it's just very special and well-designed below the surface, on the surface, above the surface, all of the above.
Everywhere.
James, I think you said it in your review as well, but it does like kind of remind me a little bit of Astrobot, or like the bits of Astrobot that I really enjoyed, where it just feels like you can kind of interact with everything in the world. Like, you can... I don't know, like, just kind of hit things and they'll react differently or in surprising sort of ways. Even, like, the kind of slippery surfaces, like, they're not really formally introduced at any point, but you just kind of encounter them, and the kind of, like, squeakiness of it as he's trying to, like, get a grip of the slippery surface is hilarious. Like, there's just all these little, like, delightful sort of things kind of tucked in the nooks and crannies of the game.
Do you guys like Pauline? I was surprised because obviously I played this game in a vacuum. Like, no, I didn't really talk to a lot of people about it. But seeing a lot of tweets and thoughts and stuff float around now, a lot of people think she talks too much. And like,
oh,
I thought she was
the opposite.
She's like
a chill. I think because she's the only one that talks, like you could maybe feel that way. Like I don't know if anyone else does talk, to my knowledge. Maybe there are other voices.
No, it's all like Banjo-Kazooie noise, like, you know,
like they grunt and make different noises. Yeah. But like she is very obviously the only one that talks and talks like a lot. So I think it stands out and like you obviously pay more attention. Cool. But I don't think it's... I mean, I don't think she's cool. I think some of the dynamics between them is kind of weird. Like, some of the stuff she's saying when he's, like, an overgrown beast and she's, like, a four-year-old girl in bed with him when he breaks through a wall. It's just a bit odd. But
I mean, it's...
I don't know. It's just odd. It's an odd dynamic. But
a big teddy bear. Like, what's...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, is he? Ass cheeks out.
Yeah, well, that's... I mean, you're choosing to interpret that way.
I didn't design his ass to be fucking 17 cheeks in size. No, I don't know. It's fine.
I think towards the end, she definitely gets a bit, like, Disney-esque. Like, it's a little bit, like, cringe. Like, how... Oop, Ewan's gone. What? He didn't like the conversation.
No, he didn't. He's...
No.
Is it still going to record if he's not here?
I think...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't think it's offensive. I don't think it's... Yeah. I do kind of... I was thinking that I wish some of the other characters spoke. Because she does talk a lot and she has a lot of dialogue lines. Like, every time you do go to bed, it feels like there's a new conversation.
I think that's, like, cool. She's too. Just speaking. Yeah, no, I know. And it's, like, usually commenting on what's just happened.
Yeah. It's very contextual, which is surprising. Like, it's not just cycling through three lines.
And I also think, like, the song aspect of it is cool. Like, all of the songs she sings for the Bonanzas are, like, really catchy and...
I thought the, like, ooh, whoa, was going to get love that. Really annoying. It's fine.
Ooh, whoa, whoa.
Don't upstage
it's
me.
It's so good.
I'll go again.
There's the clip.
But that's good. And, like, the na, 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 na.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I do, I think it's... I don't know why no one else speaks,
I don't know.
Really? So it's not annoying me. James coming out.
I just disconnected for a second and then loaded back in. I'm like, what is going on? It's not nearly annoyed me as much as when you're playing Death Stranding 2 and you like try and like someone's stuff and you've not quite timed it right. And so Sam just like calls out for other Sams.
Screams into the void.
That's That annoys me far more. But granted, I'm only like, like 3 or 4, I think, worlds/layers deep in Bonanza now. Like, Pauline doesn't... I don't feel like she's come into it enough, really. That was going to be my comment. There is, you know, like the kind of like vocal bits, as James so well demonstrated a moment ago there, as you kind of trigger abilities or that kind of thing.
I'm guessing, has anyone played at co-op yet?
I didn't even know co-op was in it. That was a delightful surprise.
I was going to say that because, like, obviously I did play co-op at the preview event and it is, like, quite complex and it does, like, really change the game and with the fact that Pauline can, like, shoot anything and any kind of material.
It trivializes a lot, especially, like, if you copy gold. Like, gold is quite powerful most of times.
Yeah.
Like, but, yeah, it is still cool if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah
I think the only... it's not really a negative, it's just Nintendo games are quite easy and I think like even Astrobot like was quite challenging and it's like a challenge levels and stuff and I'm guessing we don't really get a lot of that here. I really would like them to like figure out how they can make games a bit more balanced for like kids and then like for actual gamers, because I think everything else is perfect but like you do often... there isn't challenge, at least from what I've experienced.
I do. I think you can, like, I mean, you shouldn't have to do this, but if you just don't upgrade your health and stuff.
Well,
like,
I haven't, because I don't need to.
I would really recommend not doing it, because especially as you get into the later levels and you take damage more regularly, I don't know, it feels a little bit more careful. Maybe this is bad advice, but I feel like upgrading your health maybe would trivialize a bit too much.
Even like the first Kong Bonanza feels like you're playing on cheat mode or easy mode a lot of the time. Like, it's cool, but if you do take that into a boss battle or a challenge arena, it's like one hit.
You just like run up to them and hit them, and like it's basically over. You just like stun lock them. I do think there is a pretty dramatic difficulty shift at the end. But I think at that point, that was a dramatic shift. But I do. There are some post-game platforming challenges that are pretty tough.
If you want 100% it, there's challenge in that. Obviously, get that. It's not a negative. It's just
don't feel like there is as much post-game here as Odyssey. I'd have to go back and formally check, but it does feel like there's probably less to do after you finish. But I think when the core experience is so good, who cares?
Yeah. You know? Well, it's true.
Yeah.
But I just think
No, I agree. They definitely need to sort of... I wish they would make it harder. But I think that is just a caveat of making games that sell that many and that everyone can play, right?
Yeah. Even the sonar thing. I'm like, I don't know. You have it so you use it, but it's like maybe it would be better if you didn't. Just stuff like that. I feel like maybe they just need more options.
I don't know. I like the sonar. If I was just having to scramble about in the dirt trying to find all
the sonar is literally like
hundreds of bananas there are.
The sparkly shit that you like, that's the carrot for your stick. You know?
I know. Like, I know. Yeah. I know.
Or the banana, I should say. But yeah. I'm like so excited for you guys to play more. I know some of us have already been spoiled, unfortunately, especially with how the internet
not
works.
Me.
Well, don't look anything up, even if you just want to look up what Donkey
Kong. Swear
Kong's...
to God, if you're in the comments of this video or this podcast now,
no, don't even invite it. Shut up, Ewan. Yeah.
Don't you dare leave comments on this video.
Don't,
I welcome the engagement, but don't spoil Donkey Kong.
Just don't Google DK's middle name or something, because then the algorithm, if you will just start serving you everything, and then it's over.
Is that the spoiler?
No, yeah, that is. It's actually Donkey D Kong.
The D is for D.
I also I really really like how it it gives DK this new identity, but obviously pulls in so much from his history as well. But it really does put him on the top level of Nintendo's. Franchises and games. So I really like that it gives him a new light, but respects his history. And it's great.
What are your thoughts on Game of the Year so far, Shani Shen?
It's all he's played, so probably
Rugby League 26 is really up there for me. I haven't played it all at home. No, I mean, Odyssey was Game of the Year in its year for me. And I just think, this team is just very special. And, I know that this game is going to keep surprising me until the end. And, even if I was to stop playing now, it'd be, a great experience for me. But I know that I'm not even scratching the surface.
Smashing it instead.
Yeah.
Oh, Ewan's gone again. He's not
he's not having it.
He's not very,
Well,
how can we fill this
on
space?
That note,
well, Brody, you haven't talked about it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, obviously, I'm still pretty early in the. Although I haven't even met Pauline yet, technically, although I probably have because I assume she is a certain character. But I'm enjoying it so far. I'm still getting introduced to all the mechanics and stuff. I don't think it's really hit on any. I haven't felt any nostalgic pangs just yet. Playing through what I've played, but. I'm enjoying the smashing ability, I suppose, and the everything that comes with that. There was a few moments early where I thought, oh no, this is going to be one of those games where it sort of loses you in the walls and the camera gets all fucked up. In the first area particularly, in the mines and stuff, I found a lot of troubles with that. But since I've gotten out into the area after that, I feel like I don't have as many concerns about that. But really cool so far. I'm excited to wrap this up and go play a bit more in bed.
Absolutely.
Pills. Thank you guys
for banana, if you will.
Trying to vamp.
Continuing to vamp about Donkey Kong. I'm having some internet difficulties here. I don't know what's going on.
But, you know how it feels.
Persist and yeah. Usually it's me on the receiving end of you guys cutting out and stuff, but it's me doing it today. I don't know what's going on.
Don't generalize. It's not these guys. It's me.
All right. We have plenty more to get through, so let's crack on. Talk about some other games we've been playing. Brody, you reviewed an Aussie game this week, The Drifter. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. What did you score and why?
That's a good question. I cannot remember. I scored it a 9. I really quite... I was between some relatively high scores. I came down to a 9 because I felt sensible, but... also, I was quite scared of, James had just dropped a 10. I was like, oh, can I really do this? But I really love The Drifter. As a big fan of this kind of game. So it's a point-and-click adventure, basically, if you haven't read much about it. It's by a Melbourne developer called Powerhoof, which I think is a might be a couple of guys with obviously some support staff. It's set in like 70s, 80s Australia. It's like based sort of on like those Ausploitation films of that era, like Mad Max and things like that. Also riffs on, you know, like Stephen King and Crichton and like John Carpenter films and stuff like that. So very much vibey, like that thriller, horror, that sort of thing. And yeah, I think it's really well written. It's really well paced. I think the puzzles are really clever. I don't think there are a few that obviously had me stumped a little bit. The team were nice enough to send through like a spoiler-free kind of guide to help you through any puzzles that you maybe got stuck on. And I had to resort to it a couple times. I think I could have stumbled across it, but through fear of time, I sort of relied on it a couple of times. But I don't think there's anything quite as like obtuse as like, say, if anyone's played like the Monkey Island games, there was like a puzzle in that, like the related to like a monkey wrench that I think is famously kind of out of like left field and sort of caught a lot of people off guard. I don't think there's anything like that, but yeah, really solid point and click adventure game. They do a lot of cool things with the mechanics to sort of make it feel a little modern. It sort of handles like with like a twin stick sort of setup, so you can walk around freely, and then your right stick is sort of like your action wheel, so you can sort of yeah, obviously highlight things in the world of like interest and like sort of comment on those, or there's like a dialogue sort of dialogue tree, I suppose, you can take with most characters, so that, you know, as you learn things and they sort of, it becomes known to you, you can obviously then question other players on it to try it, question other characters on it to try and, I guess, get new leads and things like that. It's got a really nice pixel art style. It's surprisingly it's surprisingly violent,
I knew when James messaged our team's chat, our group chat, you were going to get distracted.
I assume he was maybe meant to send that to Shannon personally, but...
No, it's for everyone.
No. Oh, look, I got mentioned in the Wikipedia page. How good.
I was researching this game. I was like,
James, what the fuck is this game he's talking about?
He's talking about for so long. Yeah,
obviously...
A great, the wiki entry?
Yeah, if you will.
For later on.
Brody Givens.
Brody from Press Start.
Yeah, so anyway, the game's got a really, really nice pixel art style. Like, it's really good. The backgrounds are beautiful. Like, there's a lot of moments in this game that I was like, oh, this frame in particular could be a painting. Like, it's really nice. It's got a very good, very nice synth wave, very, ooh, you know, nice synth wave, sort of a soundscape there. That's really nice. And the core conceit, basically, of this game is that this character, you play Mick Carter, very Australian sort of battler type. He sort of goes back to his hometown, or he boards a boxcar, basically, to ride back to his hometown to go to his mother's funeral. And on the way, he's, like, sort of caught in this, like, crossfire of, like, basically a murder that he then gets framed for, but he sort of gets caught and then gets drowned in this reservoir. But then he like awakens like minutes before, right before he dies. And then basically that's sort of like one of the core loops of the game, is that anytime you die, you sort of go back to moments before it. And they use it pretty well in like these interesting puzzle sort of setups where tension is there. And you've sort of under time pressure to try and solve these puzzles. Obviously, if you die, you go back to the start of it. But so it sort of minimizes, I guess, the tension in a way. But like there's still a bit of panic there that I feel like a lot of games like this don't really, I guess, have, because you've got the luxury of time. So, yeah, I thought that was cool. I think the only thing I didn't like, and look, it may affect me as I get deeper into maybe Death Stranding 2, but I just really didn't enjoy the voice acting as much in this. Like, there's a couple of characters I didn't mind, but, man, some of, like, the real... the ockerisms and, the like, the accent. I just can't cop our accent, really, in any form of media. It really bothers me. So, yeah.
It's always been jarring, I think, like, given how familiar it is.
It is a bit jarring. It doesn't help that
feel overdone.
Yeah, it doesn't help that, like, one of the characters in this, like... Detective Hara, who's like the guy who's sent in to, I guess, investigate the murder that you're wrapped up in and stuff. Like, he is like this cool, like, hard-boiled noir detective that sounds like he's from, like, Chicago or Brooklyn or something like that. So, like, he sounds, like, in place almost, although he's out of place, as obviously everyone else is Australian. But, yeah, so if you are a fan of point-and-click games, point-and-click adventure games in particular, I think The Drifter is really phenomenal. And, yeah, I think... it'd be good to support a little team like this and pick it up. I think it's relatively cheap on Steam. I think they want to bring it to Switch. But yeah, it's just on PC for now.
I was going to ask if it's on Switch, because it sounds like the perfect kind of game for me to
more importantly, take, I think, a, I think,
take
I think,
some traveling.
I think there's even a demo on Steam, so if you even want to try it, I think it gives you the first chapter like that. It's good to sort of get to see what it's like, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for that, Brody. Sound like one I want to check out, especially Synthy soundtrack. You know that.
We love
and
a Synthy soundtrack.
I was funny enough just talking about point-and-click adventure games last week, so maybe I'm in the mood. James, you didn't review it yourself, but you did play through Shadow Labyrinth, or so you informed me before we started recording. What did you make of that game? I was worried I'd frozen again.
No, it was just my brain. I was disappointed by this overall, I think. I think there's like this potential here, but like I don't really know. It's just one of those games. I say that I found it unpleasant to play, but I finished it in like 3 days, so there must have been something there. But it kind of tries to be Metroid mixed with Dark Souls in a way, and how like difficult it is, but I find it to be overly quite frustrating as a game. I was really excited for the concept, but I just feel like the moment-to-moment gameplay was not fun. And it's kind of stuff like, the run from, say, a checkpoint to a boss is super long, or like, but then the bosses are quite hard, and it feels quite unforgiving in that way. And the story is really off, and it's trying to be this like weird meta. It's trying to like kind of create this like universe for like all of Namco's arcade games, like Pac-Man and Xevious and Dig Dug and all of that kind of shit. Galaga, there's an Emperor Galaga in this game. With these brands, I don't know if I kind of respect what they're trying to do here, but it's also like, was anyone asking for this in it? You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know.
To be clear, like I thought this concept was cool, and I think it had potential, but just the way that this comes together in this like weird, grim, dark, edgy fantasy kind of setting is really like really underwhelming in a way. The combat isn't that good. It doesn't feel good. There's this weird mechanic where you have to eat everything, because obviously you're Pac-Man in a way. but to do that, you've got to click the right stick in, and there's delay to it. It just doesn't feel good. And it's also time sensitive. So like if you miss it, then you can't really do it all because of how like clumsy it feels. I still played it for like, I think 20 or 25 hours, but I don't know. I was keen to just try and like see it if it would like wow me, but it never did. Which kind of I find is a bummer, because I do like the idea. Like I like the experimentation with like the IP. Like even most of the enemies that you fight are like possessed by the ghosts, like in this like weird gross way from, you know, like the classic ghost from Pac-Man. I think there's like cool ways they've kind of twisted the designs of all this stuff. But and then the art style is weird and generic. Like it kind of looks like, like vanillaware games. So like, you know,
that shocked me too. I think I played maybe like 45 minutes, and it just wasn't at all what I expected artistically.
It just doesn't look good. Like it looks like it's made by AI, but it's not.
Yeah.
But like it's, yeah, like, but I don't know. It's, and then you go from like a weird spaceship to a forest, and then to like generic sci-fi fortress, and it's like I don't know. I do wonder like if they're going to try again, but I don't know.
What I was going to ask you, because it sounds like there's underneath it all, there's some potential still there. Like, would you like to see them have another crack at this?
Sure, why not? Like, I think in the era that we're in, definitely like at I think of like the first Assassin's Creed and how rough that was, right? And then, you know, they eventually became good, and then somewhat argued.
Had this team done anything before? Like, what are they?
I think it's just an internal like Bandai Namco team. I didn't really look too much into it, but it is internally made. It's not made by anyone else. It just doesn't have, you know, like I look at say like Ori as an example. Like Ori had incredible like traversal mechanics, and it was hard, but like because of how quickly you move through the world, it didn't feel as bad as an example. But this game in particular, there's just nothing there. Like, there's this half-baked skill system. The one thing I will say that is good, like, you do this, like, kind of, like, hacking minigame, and that's where, like, kind of pushes you into, ironically, bits that play more like Pac-Man, and right. those bits are pretty incredible. Like they've really taken that Pac-Man formula and like twisted it in a like really cool way. But there's not enough of those either for it to be saved, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I just think it just comes across as rather generic, and the story is super vague to the point where it's actually uninteresting. I suspect maybe if I watched that secret level episode, maybe I'd have more context and it'd be more interesting. But I still think, you know, like a Metroid games have minimal story, right? And even Ori had minimal, like, in-your-face story. But you kind of still had an interest in what was happening and how it all played out and stuff. But here, like, I was like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if this is going to make sense, but, like, if we wanted, like, a darker, sort of edgier Pac-Man game, like, I think that on paper sounds cool. Like, maybe if they took more of a leaf out of the book of, like, Animal Well or something like that in terms of its art style and its vibes and, like, did something Pac-Man with that sort of style, I think that could be cool.
Thinking about it now, I
kind of got the sense that's what this kind of was, but it sounds far from it.
It just doesn't... Yeah, it's just a mishmash of, like... genre conventions that are well and truly been like, I think it's trying to ape Hollow Knight the most just with how directionless it is. But it just doesn't have that. There's that, like, I don't want to say magic, but like, you know, there's that kind of just design philosophy underpinning it that it doesn't really understand. I think the easy way to put it is like, it doesn't understand why Hollow Knight is so good in that way. Right. It just kind of, vaguely copies it and hopes for the best, and I don't think that comes across here very well.
Well, with any luck, we'll have another Hollow Knight, a proper Hollow Knight, coming out later this year. Although apparently, we need to hear much more about that. One thing we did hear a little bit about this week, though, was an Assassin's Creed adaptation coming to Netflix. Netflix greenlit the adaptation, and it's to be produced and run by Emmy nominees Robert Pattino, who worked on Westworld and Sons of Anarchy, amongst other things, and David Wiener, who worked on Halo, Homecoming, and The Killing. As well. Brody, do you take much interest in an Assassin's Creed Netflix series, and do you think it can kind of stack up against the likes of, I don't know, Fallout, The Last of Us, other kind of critically acclaimed shows we've had more recently?
I suppose it depends how they handle it. Have they given much more context to, I guess, what they're tackling as far as, like, do they start from the start?
I don't know if they have, in all honesty.
I think there have been good stories that they've been able to tell in Assassin's Creed. So if they, you know, end up as something more like, what was the animated thing that accompanied, like, Brotherhood or Revelations? Was it like Embers? Yeah, if they mirror something more like Embers, I think that could be really good. But if it's something more like, say, the Michael Fassbender film, then no, I'm probably not as interested in that. But I think there's definitely the subject material to pull something good out of this, even if it's like, they could do like an almost American Horror Story type thing where like every season is an anthology sort of season that tackles a different protagonist or something like that. Like there are angles they could take here to make it compelling, but I don't know whether it'll be as good as Fallout or, you know, The Last of Us or something like that remains to be seen. I know there's a lot of love for Assassin's Creed, so I mean, I think the viewership will be there regardless.
Yeah. I can shed a little bit more light on, like, the kind of direction they want to take it. Looking at their announcement of it. No, looking at their statement about it, they said the series follows its characters across pivotal historical events as they battle to shape humanity's destiny. And there's a tidbit later on as well, in that will show the value of human connection across cultures across time. So it seems to be that, like, they will allude a little bit to, like, I guess Cloud the Atlas. Animus kind of version of it. But yeah, like how much that kind of manifests, I'm not sure. I do like your idea that like each series is like different time, a different setting, and maybe there's a bit of a through line between tie together. Seasons.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. You looked a bit skeptical there though, James.
Just the like human connection and like, the way that it was just more like
only Kojima can get away with that kind of
I don't know. I think it will be fine. I think it'll do fine. Like, I feel like the last thing Ubisoft did, I think, was that Captain Laserhawk, and people loved that, right? I feel like it did pretty... I mean, I know no one here probably watched it.
Mystic Quest.
I take it back. I think it'll be... there's a lot of things they can pull from here, like, in terms of just side characters from all of the other games, and then, obviously, other areas of history they might have wanted to explore, but they can't really sustain a full game, full 80-hour game with, or something. One thing I do kind of like about Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed is, say, with the Fassbender movie, all of those characters are still kind of referenced and mentioned throughout the codexes and stuff in the games now. Like, I feel like they don't treat the adaptations kind of half-ass. It still has a place in the canon, yeah. Mm. Which, like, I mean, obviously I just complained about maybe that being a thing in Shadow Labyrinth, but I feel like it... I'm going to have some double standards here and be self-aware about it, so that makes it okay. But, yeah, like, but do you know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily watch the movie like, oh, yeah, whatever, like, who cares? It's not going to have anything to do with anything. But some of the stuff that happens in those movies does have, like, ripple effects in the games. That being said, this series now is so far removed from what it was and from any semblance of, like, a planned narrative that I don't think it matters. They can do whatever they want, right? And just, like,
yeah,
chuck in some... another Apple of Eden somewhere, and then that's why that happened, and it's a wizard did it basically every time. Like, it's, we're at that point now, so yeah.
I'm thinking on my feet here, but, like, the more I think about it, maybe I do kind of want to have different time periods, like, contained within the one sort of series rather than it be, like, more anthology. Like, it could be quite cool if you're following kind of two heroes who they themselves, like, going back to their ancestors, trying to, like, learn pieces of a puzzle to solve some mystery or something that's happening in the present day.
It's almost like we had that, like, with Desmond and Altair, and they just...
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. It was at its best when, in Assassin's Creed 2, like, when you're kind of piecing together, like, that truth video, right? And discovering the Apple of Eden and how it influenced all the major world leaders and stuff. And that kind of conspiracy... uncovering, yeah, with, like, a national treasure-ish twist, maybe, like, that kind of vibe. Like, I can see that working. But I think modern Assassins is at its best now, like, when there's that, like, level of political intrigue, right? With, like, the cult investigations and all that jazz. So, yeah. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, like, they did make a mention of, like, kind of the relationship of, like, power and politics and stuff in the statement. So that's, yeah, it's about power and violence and sex and greed and vengeance. So... that feels like themes very consistent throughout the whole franchise, but especially so in some of the more recent most recent games as well. Shannon, to you, given we kind of, like, have had some bangers of, like, video game TV adaptations, like, there might be, you know, like, Arcane to kind of throw in the mix there as well. Like, I know the Cyberpunk series is really well liked too. Are we kind of in a bit of a golden age of specifically TV show adaptations of video games? Like, is that a fair thing to say?
I think so. I think it helps that, like, Netflix is the one, like, and, like, all of the streaming services are the ones screenlighting this stuff, right? And, like, I feel like they really know what works and, like, have all the data to know what they should be doing. And I think that is why we're getting so many great TV shows and movies, because, as we've spoken about with games, like, it's riskier than ever to be creating anything entertainment. So, yeah, I think so. And it's just so much to pull from and so many different art styles you can use, or just some things are really related to to games and others are just totally different. So yeah, I think so. In saying that, yeah, anything Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft at the moment just has me a little bit extra nervous, just because I feel like, yeah, they're up against it with anything.
And hey, I mentioned Halo in the kind of spiel introducing this as well, and I think that was a TV adaptation that left plenty of people disappointed as well. It didn't quite kind of live up to people's hope, and I think it's fair enough. They've not all been great.
Yeah, I think the thing is, it's on Netflix, right? Like, you just chuck it on and watch it, and if you watch one episode and then fall off it, no, love lost, really. You haven't really paid anything above your subscription. So from a consumer point of view, there's not a lot to lose. But yeah, Assassin's Creed is a big one. Like,
find kind of cult fans. They don't need to
hit the mainstream. Or over time or whatever. Like, I just think it's different.
Yeah, it's fair. Well, sticking on the topic of video game adaptations a moment longer, the trailer for the Mortal Kombat 2 came out featuring Carl Urban as Johnny Cage, who you might be familiar with from The Boys as well. Brody, I think you just watched the trailer before we started recording this evening. What did you think of it?
I think it looks fun. I was saying before, I thought the first movie was pretty fun. Like, I enjoyed it for what it was. I know it's not perfect. Mm. A lot of people had issues with Cole, the protagonist. Like, he was obviously meant to serve as us, the viewer, to like introduce us into this world, but on the whole he was rather boring, and I think how they handled his powers and stuff was a little weird. But this one seeming to take more of a, I don't know, I guess the general plot and how it sort of is being delivered, like obviously all through Johnny Cage for the most part. It kind of reminds me of the first Mortal Kombat movie a little bit, with I think it was like Lyndon Ashby played Johnny Cage. So I was skeptical as well about like Carl Urban as Johnny Cage. Like, he struck me as perhaps a little old for the role, but if you sort of view it as like, you know, he's Johnny Cage but a little washed, which kind of makes it, I guess, funnier and a bit more self-aware. Mm-hmm. Maybe I think I mean, the trailer left me a little more optimistic as far as he goes, so looks pretty fire, if I'm being honest. Like, I loved Scorpion in the first one, and he looks cool in this again. Kung Lao looks awesome. Colour me excited for October.
Yeah, that was kind of my, like, I'm not a big Mortal Kombat guy. I think I'm pretty much on the record for that, but like, I enjoyed the first film, and I thought it got the right parts right, that kind of
it felt very faithful to the subject material, well. I think.
Yeah. What about yourself, James? Do you kind of agree with Brody's perspective there?
It looks good. I am excited for there being more of the female characters in the game. I mean, movie, just because they're the ones that I play. Like, I play Katana, Jade, and Sindel in the games, and to not have them in the first one really sucked. And I hate Sonya as much as she does. I think the Jessica McNamee does a good job. Like, she's not my favorite. It's like cool to see all of these characters like come to life and like reimagined. I'm excited to see where it goes, and I kind of like that they seem to be stepping away from Cole, who obviously was the original character they made for the first movie. Is he in this trailer? Like, I feel like I didn't even see him.
He's in the movie. We know he's in the movie.
Okay, yeah, so. I know he's got a poster. He's got a poster, but I think they loud and clear on that one, which like I appreciate. There's so many cool characters in this world, so it's kind of weird that they've made one.
Maybe to see now where they've established it, they can just kind of sideline him somewhat.
I'm sure that wasn't the plan originally, but I'm glad it is now. To think it's only 3 months away is kind of cool.
What about you, Ken? Did you watch the trailer? Do you have? Oh, sorry, James, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, I did. Fine. I liked the first one. It was a good time, and the original is still a classic to me. I watched that a lot growing up.
What a film!
I know. Go on, James, sing this. Give us the full techno pack.
That's the only one that trumped the first clip.
So. Exactly. I'm sorry.
It's been a long time since the original, right? Like, it's been like 3 or 4 years. Like, was that like COVID? That
was during, maybe 2021?
Yeah.
No. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was, or earlier. Anyway,
I very much reckon it was like, let's wait and see how this film does, and if it does well, we'll do another. And obviously,
2021.
I'm keen for it, and it's a local movie, right? So go Australia,
Gold Coast, I think.
Yeah, huge. Yeah, it's good stuff. If you remember last week, I mentioned the upcoming Pokemon Presents, which is, certainly as of recording, only about a day away. I think as this comes out, it'll be the same day. They teased an image of Pikachu near some hi-fi gear. It's since emerged what that's going to be. And it is a pre-show Pikachu DJ set, which is not what any of us predicted. We were thinking, like, maybe it's a rhythm game or something, I guess, more exciting like that. Shannon, your thoughts on a Pikachu DJ set? Will you be tuning into the pre-show to see him spinning the decks?
I mean, could be electric. I trust my boy Pikachu to set the stage. It's going to be the longest presents in like 2 or 3 years, I think. So I'm still really keen on it. I just feel like the tease.
Maybe 2 hours of that is him.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe 98% of it is that, and then just a trailer for Legends. No, I'm keen for it. I think... I know we know that Legends is coming, but it does feel like it's been a quiet few years for Pokemon in terms of, like, all little side games and stuff they normally drop. Mm. So I'm keen for what might be on the way.
James, what would you like to see Pikachu drop during a set?
Sounds so ominous.
His trousers.
Yeah, I don't know. Just
feel free to comment on the presents rather than the Pikachu no, okay. DJ set.
Yeah, I think we're due for a new gen, aren't we? Like, I should have prepared, but
do you Pokemon think? Sword do you and think Shield that they would do that?
Sword and Shield was 2019.
With Legends, like, still.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a genuine question.
Because remember they did Scarlet Violet and then.
True. Legends. I guess, like, and it could be years away, right?
Like, they don't care. Like I said, at this slot, you put the slop in the trough, everyone will eat it up. They genuinely, seriously.
There's a sound bite, like, right there.
What about, I know, like, a new stadium? Like, I know that they've done fighting games.
They've already,
like,
announced that, haven't they?
I don't know. You're the one telling the story, doll.
You started the story. You had your pen inked.
And even like another snap, I feel like that did well. And like, why not?
I swear they announced there's a new
I feel like no. I'd remember that.
Kind of a flop. No, it probably sold well. But...
Yeah, but like James said, it's. Yeah.
Put it in the trough.
Exactly. Or remake the original.
Pokemon Champions is a new 3D stadium-style 3D battle game coming to Switch, announced in February 2025.
Well, that's a bit different, isn't it? Stadium 3 or 4. I don't want to eat it.
Yeah, just so you can play it for like 10 minutes and be like, it's not like the old one.
What was the game that had all the mini games on 60? Well, it was Stadium, wasn't it?
Yeah, Stadium 1 and the Lucky Tongue Sushi and the...
And the drowsy, like, hypnosis one.
The hypnotized one.
They were great.
The tongue?
Yeah.
Like, the
Sandshrew digging one?
Yeah. There's a lot of... I want more. I do miss that gen of Pokemon.
Just make Pokemon like Mario Party, but with Pokemon. I'm surprised they haven't done that. That's like...
That's true.
That's a pretty ripe...
Pokemon Racer. Just putting it out there. Get him in some carts.
Why not Pokemon Knitting with the mouse controls? I don't know.
I'm amazed it's not like an Animal Crossing like style Pokemon game, actually. That would...
I feel like they do a lot of... like weird, like the cafe game and like mobile games and stuff. But I feel like they need just more actual games that aren't like core games. I'm keen.
No, I was just going to say that.
He was just going to agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be a first.
Watch none of this happen and it'd just be awful.
Yeah.
Like eight mobile games.
Log
in to get 20 gold candies in Pokemon EX Champions on Android or something.
The latest on Pokemon Go, what we're up to.
So long since I played a Pokemon game. I am actually keen to maybe try Legends just because it is. An older gen that
I'm banking on Legends being good because it's in my Fantasy Critic and I really need some wins. So
it'll run okay, right? Like, which is we're already
that's got to get at a point at least, right?
Exactly.
yeah, fingers crossed. Well, I for one will be tuning in to the Pikachu DJ set and I can't wait. I'll take like a boiler room.
You're probably leading
any day. That'd be great. I do have a rapid fire question for each of you though, before we go to What the Wiki this week. The director of the Infamous series, Nate Fox, indicated that he'd love to revisit the franchise in an interview this week. Shannon, would you like to revisit Infamous as well? Would you be keen for another Infamous game?
Definitely. I love the last one. I just want the originals in the same way I want Resistance. Yep. Like, just give us a way to play the original games on current consoles and I will be happy for a little while.
I think I'd be more excited for that.
A very short time.
At this point in time.
A day, at least. They're such good games and nothing really exists like them, in my opinion.
I think I did prefer the kind of Cole games rather than... Who's Troy Baker's
Desmond.
Character?
Desmond.
Delson. Yeah.
Delson, that's right.
Is it Delson? Is it
really? Pros and cons.
Desmond sounds right.
I liked that second son. I thought it was cool how second they didn't son. Just go for a different element. You know what I mean? They had these like weird, like wasn't one of them like the power of film? Like it was just like.
It was something like that.
Yeah, and like the bad guy was like this like old lady, like who used rock powers. Like I don't know, it was all really. different.
I understand Ghost of Tsushima, and again, I understand it's really popular, but I do think that there's enough of those games, and I do
100%
think there's a lot of talent.
Yeah,
I think that's a very reasonable opinion. Like, honestly,
wow, yeah. For a change.
Speaking of what could be hot takes.
Oh yes,
you're gonna make the request.
Am I putting the call out? Okay, so if you're still listening at this point in the show, James has this idea for a podcast segment where we basically react to your unpopular opinions. Is that, am I summarizing it correctly so far, James?
About video games, not anything else.
You're not welcome to write in about politics or what you
fast food. Exactly.
No one cares.
That's
your
fast
unpopular
food
video
games.
Game opinions. Yeah. Yes. So if you've made
maybe
this
fast
so
food.
Far,
we should throw that in.
Or
as well.
Fast food. Okay. Unpopular opinions about video games and fast food. We haven't vetted this past Shannon at all yet so far.
If
so
you
want to
write in
and
tell me
the
McGriddle is any good, I will happily debate that.
Yeah, I've not been back either. I've returned for the muffin.
No, I've been back twice.
Oh my god, it's already started. So, are we happy if people A, comment on the podcast, B, comment on the YouTube video? Like, are you happy just collating them that way, or do you want them, like, tweeted at you directly?
Whatever
I love
you
that
want.
We're Keeping anticipating, James's like, DMs. A bombardment.
I want to comment them on the YouTube video or, like, on the podcast, wherever you're listening, and we'll do it that way. Mind you, I think it's just Spotify you can comment on. But anyhow. One of the two, we'll react to them on the show. I like that this has evolved beyond just you reacting to my unpopular opinions, which I think was the first pitch.
If nobody writes in, I'll just react to your opinions.
If you want to post them by snail mail to James, his address is
I can provide it.
Dox him on Shannon will give it to you.
This is exciting. Eventually, the show is just segments. It'll be Tech Time with Shannon. It will be James's reaction to... our reaction to unpopular opinion. It'll be Rapid Fire and What the Wiki, and that'll be the show.
Just like, Hey Hey, It's Saturday. But...
On a Monday. Let's go to one of those segments now. Fan favorite, What the Wiki, the pressed up podcast game show with the Preeves. It is. People love What the Wiki. It's great.
I think it's our favorite.
It's the previous week's, it's the game show where the previous week's winner is part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round ending after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. I was last week's winner, got myself 2 points, and kind of defended my lead in first place with 23 points. James, you are in second on 20 points. Brody, you're in third on 18. Shannon, you are in fourth place with 11 points. And Harry is bringing up the rear on 4 points. Contestants, if you are ready, I have the first game here. I see some nodding. That's good. Hopefully my internet doesn't cut out again. The game is a vehicular combat game in which the player takes control... Shannon.
Twisted Metal.
It is Twisted Metal. Well done, Shannon. He would have seen it happening.
Not
right
very often
off the mark.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Hey, this is great for me. I need you to get as many points as you can here. Game number two. The game is a 2D action role-playing game fashioned after The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past, rendered in a pixel art style. The player controls a character that has access to technology that has long
Shannon,
been forgotten. Shannon?
No.
For the sweep.
Is it Tunic?
It's not Tunic. No.
Great guess,
The player
Shannon.
Controls... Great dress.
Is it pixel art?
Yeah.
Did you know?
The player controls a character that has access to technology that has long been forgotten by the inhabitants of the game's world and is suffering from an unspecified illness. The story concept was inspired by a lead developer's heart disease and has been likened by others
James.
To Studio Ghibli. James?
Oh, that was
Brody
toy.
Was really close there.
Yeah,
James was louder, but then I was like, I might have heard a book first.
He didn't raise his argument. He raised his voice.
Do either of you have any representations to make here?
On my stream, I think I was very much ahead, but there's a lag.
I thought I was ahead, so
that's all right.
I think James might have conceded that he was second there. I'm sorry. My instinct was James, so I'm going to say James.
Huh. Is it Hyper Light Drifter?
Brady's not happy.
Yeah, I don't.
I think I should just get it.
He could be wrong. James could be wrong.
Should we? No, I'm not. Should we just like?
What if we say it at the same time? And if we both get it, we both get half a point.
But there's already a delay. We know. Okay, well, yeah. We'll try this.
Do we want to do a coin toss?
No. You already made your choice.
Ewan, countdown. Let's
now
go.
Lying in.
All right.
Ewan made his choice.
3, 2, 1.
Hyperlight Drifter.
Yeah, they both said the same. Okay, I think I'm paying James the point.
Give us both a point.
No.
Do you both want half a point?
I don't want it.
That's a null round, I think.
Let's null it. Let's null it.
Because then you would have to get another game.
But I don't have the game prepped.
That's okay. Well, I'll get take the next point, one whatever. And it'll all be nothing.
Give James the point. It's controversial, I think, but we'll move on.
Okay. We need first like Superman need and now this year. Resolving this. We didn't tell that story on the podcast.
No,
we don't need to. Let's move on.
We don't need it. We don't need to tell it.
Okay. If you want to hear that story, message us. Add that to the comments as well.
Just don't trust Ewan.
Game number 3. The gameplay is centered on continual boss fights, interspersed with run and gun levels. James.
Is it Cuphead?
It is Cuphead. Well,
you don't want to make James angry. In what the wiki's the lesson?
No, he was. I don't think he was angry there.
What do you mean? When was I angry?
Internally, he's feeling slighted. So he's.
I'm worried about Brody.
Like, why would he feel slighted?
What? Anyway. Yeah, I don't understand. Anyway, like,
I think Brody's the one that's feeling slighted.
I'm wondering why I even came tonight. But anyway.
Brody, if it's any consolation, I did just switch around the order of the games to do Cuphead, thinking that might be more up your street. And
it means fuck all to me, Ewan.
Okay, so how that's netted out. James got himself 2 points, and he narrowed the lead. He is now only 1 point behind me. Brody is in third with an 18. Shannon got a point and is on 12 now. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at pressstart.com.au. We've been joined today by James.
You can find me on X at James, ATJMZ. Or Blue Sky, if you can.
Also joining us today, it was Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
And last but not least, it was Big Daddy Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixie or Big Daddy Shannon, depending on what site you're going on.
I've been your host, Ewan. Don't forget to send us your unpopular opinions. We're going to try and make that a segment. Otherwise, you can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxborough. We'll be back again next week. And until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.